Awake, number 5, 2016. Did Jesus really exist? He was neither rich nor powerful. He did not even have a home that he could call his own. Yet his teachings have influenced millions. Did Jesus Christ really exist? What do both modern and ancient authorities say? Michael Grant, a historian and an expert on ancient classical civilization, noted, "If we applied to the New Testament, as we should, the same sort of criteria as we should apply to other ancient writings containing historical material, we can no more reject Jesus' existence than we can reject the existence of a mass of pagan personages whose reality as historical figures is never questioned." Rudolf Bultmann, a professor of New Testament studies, stated, "The doubt as to whether Jesus really existed is unfounded and not worth refutation. No sane person can doubt that Jesus stands as founder behind the historical movement whose first distinct stage is represented by the oldest Palestinian community of Christians." Will Durant, a historian, writer, and philosopher, wrote, "That a few simple men, the gospel writers, should in one generation have invented so powerful and appealing a personality, so lofty an ethic, and so inspiring a vision of human brotherhood would be a miracle far more incredible than any recorded in the Gospels." Albert Einstein, a German-born Jewish physicist, asserted, "I am a Jew, but I am enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene." When asked if he viewed Jesus as a historical person, he responded, "Unquestionably, no one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life." What does history reveal? The most detailed record of Jesus' life and ministry is recorded in the Bible accounts known as the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, named after the men who wrote them. In addition, a number of early non-Christian sources name him. Tacitus, circa 56 to 120 CE, or Common Era. Tacitus is considered to be one of the greatest of the ancient Roman historians. His annals deal with the Roman Empire from 14 CE to 68 CE. Jesus died in 33 CE. Tacitus wrote that when a great fire devastated Rome in 64 CE, Emperor Nero was considered responsible. But Tacitus wrote that Nero accused the Christians in order to scotch the rumor. Then Tacitus said, "Christus, the founder of the name Christian, had undergone the death penalty in the reign of Tiberius by sentence of the procurator Pontius Pilatus." Annals, Book 15, Chapter 44. Suetonius, circa 69 to after 122 CE. In his Lives of the Caesars, this Roman historian recorded events during the reigns of the first 11 Roman emperors. The section on Claudius refers to turmoil among the Jews in Rome that was likely caused by disputes over Jesus. Suetonius wrote, "Since the Jews constantly made disturbances at the instigation of Crestus or Christus, he, Claudius, expelled them from Rome." The Deified Claudius, Book 25, Chapter 4. Although wrongly accusing Jesus of creating disturbances, Suetonius did not doubt his existence. Pliny the Younger, circa 61 to 113 CE. This Roman author and administrator in Bithynia, or modern Turkey, wrote to Roman Emperor Trajan about how to deal with the Christians in that province. Pliny said that he tried to force Christians to recant, executing any who refused to do so. He explained, "Those who repeated after me an invocation to the pagan gods and offered adoration with wine and frankincense to your image, and who finally cursed Christ, I thought it proper to discharge." Pliny, Book 10, Letter 96. Flavius Josephus, circa 37 to 100 CE. This Jewish priest and historian states that Annas, a Jewish high priest who continued to wield political influence, convened the judges of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court, and brought before them a man named James, the brother of Jesus who was called the Christ. Jewish Antiquities, Book 20, Paragraph 200. The Talmud. This collection of Jewish rabbinic writings, dating from the 3rd to the 6th centuries CE, shows that even Jesus' enemies affirmed his existence. One passage says that on the Passover, Yeshu, or Jesus, the Nazarene, was hanged, which is historically correct. Babylonian Talmud, Sanhedrin 43a, Munich Codex. See John 19, 14 through 16. Another states, "May we produce no son or pupil who disgraces himself in public like the Nazarene," a title often applied to Jesus. Babylonian Talmud, Berakoth 17b, footnote, Munich Codex. See Luke 18:37. Evidence from the Bible. The Gospels give us a comprehensive account of Jesus' life and ministry, including specific details about people, places, and times, the hallmarks of authentic history. An example is found at Luke 3:1-2, which helps us to establish the exact date when a man named John the Baptist, a forerunner of Jesus, commenced his work. Luke wrote, "In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod was district ruler of Galilee, Philip, his brother, was district ruler of the country of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was district ruler of Abilene, in the days of chief priest Annas and of Caiaphas, God's declaration came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness." This detailed, precise list enables us to establish that God's declaration came to John in the year 29 CE. The seven public figures Luke names are well known to historians. That said, for a time, certain critics did question the existence of Pontius Pilate and Lysanias. But the critics spoke too soon. Ancient inscriptions bearing the names of those two officials have been discovered, confirming Luke's accuracy. The footnote reads, "An inscription bearing the name of a tetrarch or district ruler called Lysanias has been found. He ruled over Abilene at the very time Luke mentioned." End of footnote. Why does it matter? The question of Jesus' existence matters because his teachings matter. For example, Jesus taught people how to live happy, fulfilling lives. The footnote reads, "A fine example of Jesus' teachings can be found in Matthew chapters 5 to 7, often called the Sermon on the Mount." End of footnote. He also promised a time when mankind will live in true peace and security, united under a single world government called the Kingdom of God. Luke 4:43. The designation "the Kingdom of God" is appropriate because this world government will express God's sovereignty over the earth. Jesus made that fact clear when he said in his model prayer, "Our Father in the heavens, let your kingdom come. Let your will take place on earth." Matthew 6:9-10. What will kingdom rule mean for mankind? Consider the following. Warfare and civil strife will cease. Psalm 46:8-11. Wickedness, including greed and corruption, will be gone forever, along with ungodly people. Psalm 37:10-11. The kingdom's subjects will enjoy meaningful, productive work. Isaiah 65:21-22. The earth will fully recover from its present sick state and produce bountiful crops. Psalm 72:16 and Isaiah 11:9. Some people may consider those promises wishful thinking. But is it not wishful thinking to trust in human efforts? Consider, even in spite of spectacular advances in education, science, and technology, millions today feel deeply insecure and uncertain about tomorrow. And daily, we see evidence of economic, political, and religious oppression, as well as greed and corruption. Yes, the reality is that human rule is a failure. At the very least, the question of Jesus' existence merits our consideration. The footnote reads, "For more information about Jesus and his teachings, go to www.jw.org and look under Bible Teachings, Bible Questions Answered." End of footnote. As 2 Corinthians 1:19 and 20 states, "No matter how many the promises of God are, they have become yes by means of Christ." End of article.